Ghost Beast!
Ghost Beast.
Ghost Beast!
Horror Podcast. I'm Todd.
I'm Becca.
And we're going to watch every horror movie ever made. So hang out with us for a spoiler-free review and content warning, followed by our full thoughts. Because today, we watched Dangerous Animals from 2025, directed by Sean Byrne, who also directed The Devil's Candy and The Loved Ones.
Oh, okay.
Which I know. I just found that out. That was one of the movies when we met that you were like excited about.
Yeah.
I remember. It's another Monday mystery movie. Did I surprise you?
You did. I was thinking, I was like, wow, okay.
We had like a very different experience this yeah. time.
Oh my God, like opposites.
Yeah, because we decided to go to a different Regal because we don't really have a lot of Regals near us. We have to drive a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the one we went to, like you were complaining constantly because...
That's not constant.
I think we saw The Substance there. That was the last time. And yes. they didn't even have recliners. Like, what are we doing?
Well, it's not so much about not having recliners. It was just... They have the very old, small seats, and, like, they're really hard.
The old, like, flip-down seats.
Yeah, which, you know, there can be nice flip-down seats, but these ones no one's replaced them in years.
We're over the flip-down seat, okay? They wound up being secretly remodeled. I remember when we were walking in, I saw a poster that was advertising recliners, and it was like, really? Like, we're still advertising this in 2025? But they were nice.
They were really nice.
They were really nice.
They're probably one of the like most comfortable ones I've sat in.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. So that was great.
Yeah, it was a very welcome surprise because we were literally in the same theater as when we saw The Substance. And I was like, here we go.
I don't know how you remember that.
I don't know. I can't remember important things, but I can remember that.
Yeah. But this time, like, there weren't that many people there. It felt like we were the youngest people in there.
Oh, yeah.
Was I wrong on that?
No, we were. Yeah.
It makes sense because honestly, no, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't make sense.
What doesn't make sense to me is that I'm already feeling like going to the movies at 7 p.m. It's rough.
Yeah.
It is hard on me.
Yeah.
Like in a way that is kind of sad. So I don't know how these old people are doing it.
I don't know.
I guess when you're retired, you just... go back to staying up all night.
Yeah.
But this was one I had heard people mention it because I was trying to stay spoiler free. Luckily, the directors didn't come out and spoil the movie this time like they did for Bring Her Back.
Yeah.
So we were able to have the full experience like up until the title card, even though since I had heard of this and we had been looking at like posters for it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of obvious in the beginning when you see the boat and everything. It's like, oh yeah. Okay. So this is Dangerous Animals. But I think I'll say right away that the interesting thing about going in this blind, because I mean, this is like as blind as it gets, you know, didn't watch a trailer, didn't know anything about it, didn't even know we were going to see it.
Yeah.
That actually might have hurt the movie just a little bit. Honestly, it's a really fun movie. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. My biggest universal complaint is it just feels like it doesn't do enough with this concept, I think. Because there are parts of the movie that feel like we're kind of spinning our wheels, and the movie's not that long, so, you know. But, yeah, for those who don't know, the, like, one-sentence pitch that I had read is that it's about a serial killer who's obsessed with sharks, and he... kidnaps women and feeds them in this like ritualistic way to the sharks. That definitely paints a picture.
Yeah.
And that sounds dark as hell.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that's interesting. That's all I knew. My personal issue with that wound up being that like the movie's tone is just way cheesier than I expected it to be. Like it's not as dark as I thought it would be.
Yeah, no, I think I can agree with that. Because I think you were literally just talking to me about this movie, like I think like the day before or something.
Yeah.
You were showing me the poster. And from what I saw from the poster and just you briefly telling me, I think I also expected it to be way more dark.
Yeah. Or maybe I've also wondered, like, is it us? Like, are we just like so affected by watching so much horror now, like the bar keeps getting raised, I feel like every year.
Yeah.
So it's harder to enjoy something like this. It's a little more like middle of the road, you know?
Yeah, I think when I realized that there was going to be more of a comedy element leaning into it, which you kind of get introduced in the beginning, because I did expect something so dark.
Yeah.
I just kind of like accepted that in my head, like, okay, this is going to be a little bit more like comedic. Light. And I'm just like, I'm just going to give it a chance. Cause sure. I think I was expecting something like very dark too. And when the tone shifted, it was like, okay, well, we're here to have fun, I guess.
Yeah. We'll get into it more with the spoilers, but I think the way the movie opens is the strongest part.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think the tone definitely felt like it shifted a bit as it went mm-hmm. to get more lighthearted, not as like dark as I thought. I keep saying dark. But it was still like, it was pretty fun. I'm happy we saw it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't regret it. It'll be great when it comes to Shudder.
Yeah. Well, see, I like a beachy horror movie, so...
Here you go.
I kind of was along for the ride, I guess.
I will say, like, if we're going to talk content warning, that's another interesting thing mm-hmm. with seeing something early like this
mm-hmm.
is that the setup, I mean, it's very like Wolf Creek, like that kind of subgenre. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there is this vibe early on with these women getting abducted that I was like, oh, uh-oh. Yeah. I didn't really check this movie.
Yeah.
And I tried... In the theater, I tried pulling it up because I was like, oh, shit. Like, this is probably worth looking into. I turned my brightness down all the way. All right. But there was nothing there. It's just too early. So that made me kind of nervous, especially because on IMDb, it did list there being nudity, which I don't think there is, unless we're just calling, like, a little bit of a butt nudity.
Yeah, I don't recall there being any nudity.
Yeah, it reminds me of, like, watching Attack on Titan. And like, oh. Every episode listed nudity. And it's like, are we counting Titan butts? Like, I don't know.
There is also a sex scene, but it still feels modest for a sex scene. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's very modest.
I think that's up to interpretation, I guess, of what you decide is modest. Sure. But I don't know. There is that, I guess. Maybe that's what it's calling to.
That's what I think. But I can say safely that thankfully this guy is not a sex freak.
Yeah.
Because I was worried that it could go in that direction.
I will say the second that is kind of revealed, it's like, oh, I got to be on the edge of my seat here. Yeah. What's about to happen?
Yeah. But it becomes clear, like, that's not what he's into in this whole thing.
It's not really much better, but
no, it's better. Thank God. I didn't want to go to that place.
No, I didn't either.
That was great. It keeps it fun. You know?
Yeah.
So, and even the violence, I don't think is like, that's the thing. It's like a little bit graphic at one part. You know, I guess if you're really scared of sharks, then like, what do you expect?
Don't watch this movie. Yes. Or I mean, maybe do. I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I don't remember what I was saying. I think a lot of stuff happened off screen, personally.
Yeah.
Which also kind of disappointed me.
That's the thing. They show a little bit, but that's what I'm talking about is like the bar is so high that I was like sitting there ready to be freaked the fuck out. And it was just tamer than I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. But that's like we said, that's the tone.
Yeah.
It's not trying to traumatize you completely. So it's fun. Good middle of the road Shudder movie. There were like a billion production studio logos in the beginning of this.
Oh my God. I felt like we sat there forever. Play them all at once.
At the same time.
Like a Brady Bunch. Just like all of them.
That's for the TikTok generation. Yeah. But that's it. I mean, why don't we'll get into spoilers and talk about our specific thoughts a little more. So yeah, after seeing it, that's the thing. It's like we said. I think the beginning is definitely the strongest part of the movie because it sets things up in this pretty scary way because this guy, I mean, he's the Wolf Creek guy, which is now, it feels like Andrew Tate and the Red Pill community have kind of brought this back where now we're just fashioning everybody after them. Or I don't know if it's just that we recognize that differently now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that was the thing in Speak No Evil. In the remake, but they specifically cited Andrew Tate.
Mm-hmm.
He's got those vibes for sure. But he's a character who just feels dangerous right away because it has this great way of setting it up as, you know, he's this kind of jolly Australian guy that's going to take this couple out to see the sharks. But I don't know. It just, there's something about the way he's built that just looks aggressive.
Yeah, it's really great, I think, how they reveal this because... Wait, are we in spoilers?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, forgot for a second. Okay. So I really love how they reveal this because he's, like, all goofy and silly. Mm-hmm. And then there's still this, like, thin layer of being uncomfortable. Like, why? He seems silly and everything, but why do I feel like he's up to something?
You're waiting for the turn. You know it's coming. Like, we've seen this so many times.
But I will say, when it happens, I was shocked. I was like, holy shit. Like,
it's nice. Yeah. He just...
He just fucking snaps.
Yeah, he just stabs the guy instantly, and that's it. And I think it, like, goes to the title card right after that.
Yeah.
I do want to point out, like, the visuals around the boat were so cool.
Oh my God, they're so beautiful.
I think we were kind of colored by the fact we saw that poster where it's, like, a distant shot of the boat, and its wake is just red.
It's so cool looking. It was a
cool design.
Yeah.
And I just thought of that, like, every time they had those, like, big aerial shots. Because the boat is, like, really distinct looking. Like, its color scheme did make me think of Dredge, which I've just been, just played through. But, yeah, that's the thing is, it's kind of the whole build-up to him kidnapping the main character, which happens, like, very early in the movie. And taking her out in the boat where you find this other girl has just been chained up this whole time. This is where it got a little worrisome when they're just, like, chained to these beds.
Yeah, we got to this scene, and I was just like, fuck. Like,
this all happens.
What's happening?
Like, I didn't really realize how fast it goes through all this until, like, right now. It's like, this really is all kind of the opening of the movie.
Yeah, and I'll say the way he, like, kidnaps her and, like, you sit with him while he's, like, suffocating her.
Yeah.
That is also, like, oh, God, what?
That's that turn where he just, there is this, like, dangerous thing about him. Because even his interaction with Zephyr, like, at that point, we already know what's up. And, yeah, it just feels like he's, like, coiled up, like, just ready to fucking attack her the whole time.
I think, maybe I missed something, but can you explain to me why that man threw her thing key out the window when they were having sex? Why did he do that? Do you remember that?
I didn't even know what that was. So I it took me a little while to pick that up.
I see, like, I wasn't exactly sure what it was, but I figured it had something to do with her surfboard and or her car. So I was like, what?
Yeah.
Why would you throw a key out the window?
Maybe now that I have the full picture, maybe he was trying to get her to stay with him or something.
Oh, ew.
It's still fucking weird.
Sorry. Yeah, no.
Still not better, but so everything up till the first scene where this poor girl who you barely get to know by this point is getting fed to the sharks. That's the thing. All of this really captured me. Like, I was so on board during this whole thing. And then leading up to the kill, I mean, it sounds fucked up, but it's like, I think I was hoping for it to be way more brutal because there's like... There is room here in 2025 to be like, all right, we're going to make this movie. And the hook is that it's going to have the most fucked up shark attack you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Using 2025 visual effects. And I think, like, that would have really set the tone for the rest of the movie.
I think there was definitely, like, an avenue to go harder with it. And it's a weird line for me because I really love witnessing really good special effects.
Yeah.
So I was kind of hoping, like, even though I knew it was going to be super gross to be able to see it, but it felt like you saw a lot more of the aftermath kind of, like, covered.
They had some
for, like,
good,
every kill.
There, well, that's the thing. There were only two, right?
Well, anytime there's, like, blood or something.
Right.
Except for the guy who got the hook in the head.
Yeah. Even that was, like, kind of off camera in a way that was like, weird. Are we really holding back?
Is there, like, a director's cut that has, like, all of that in there or something?
But I just want to make it clear, I'm not a fucking weirdo, okay? What I'm trying to say is, like, I felt the tension, like, all the way up to that kill. Like, because in my head, I'm like, oh, man, how bad is this going to be?
Yeah.
Is this going to fuck me up? You know what I mean? Like, the whole time. And that's, like, a fun kind of tension to have. Mm-hmm. And if they really hit you with that, for the rest of the movie, there are no more shark attacks, you know, until the guy, the fucking, what's his name? Tucker?
Mm-hmm.
Until he gets eaten by a shark at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. So it would have been a great way to, like, put that shit in the back of your mind. So the whole time there's this danger of like, I don't want to see these sharks anymore. I'm done with the sharks now because that fucked me up.
Yeah.
And instead it goes in a very different kind of direction.
I do like that there was attention paid to how sharks actually behave. Like,
yeah, they do seem to be, they kind of want to have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
Because they show the beauty and the majesty of the sharks, and then they eat this poor girl, and then it's back to like, oh, look, they're not actually dangerous if you don't move.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It seems, because every time he starts the show, he has like a little bit of, there's a little bit of blood in the water, so I'm assuming he's throwing in like chum or something to like get them to come there.
Yeah.
And then he's relying on the victim to freak out and move, and all of that together is like a perfect way of having a shark attack a human.
No, so, it makes sense. Yeah. It's just that, like, for a movie that centers around ritualistic shark sacrifice, or sacrifice to sharks, rather, it feels weird that there's really only that one scene. And it just doesn't happen again until the end of the movie. I think that's the defining thing that pushes what I'm saying about this being just a little lighter and cheesier than I thought. It's not trying to fucking traumatize you. It's not trying to make you terrified of the ocean.
Yeah.
It's telling a different kind of story. And the story winds up being more about the characters, you know, Zephyr and Tucker. And in that sense, like, it's interesting. You know, having that focus on her trying to escape the whole time while we get, like, interspersed parts with the fucking weirdo Tucker where he's, like, dancing to music and shit in his little robe.
Yeah,
his character is really wild.
Yeah, he, like, throughout the movie, I was like, does this man think he's, like, the god of sharks? Like, a shark god? Because he's, like, he thinks he's, like, invincible because he got attacked and he was okay. Or he, like, beat up the shark. I'm not really sure exactly what happened there. I don't remember. But
he's the alpha shark.
Yeah, he really had this, like, I kind of like it in his character. There would be moments where he'd like have side profile and he'd move his eye over like a shark would, when that girl walked by. So he was like looking at her without moving his face, but you could see him like following his eye around her like a shark does.
Yeah.
I like how they threw those little moments in.
It is an interesting character. It's kind of dismissive to say it's like the Wolf Creek thing. I barely remember Wolf Creek. Have you seen those?
I don't know if I have. I can't remember.
I saw the first one. I just remember it's about a crazy Australian guy. So it's kind of similar. He's like torturing young people. But I like the little details that do make him more of like a serial killer. Like there's obviously the trophies. Like he cuts their hair off and puts it in a little cassette tape.
Yeah.
But it's
I thought that that was a really cool way to like characterize it. But also like given the subject matter, I was like not happy with how cool it looked because I was like, well,
it's a lot.
That sucks.
It is, but it's also like the way he videotapes all these rituals and he has this like specific VHS camera that he has. It's like that ritual, which seems like it's kind of a sign of how long he's been doing this and he has a like set pattern, which is very much like a serial killer.
Yeah, this guy has mommy issues.
Is that your interpretation?
I do. I mean, like, I think it's implied in the movie. I mean, remember when they were singing Baby Shark in the beginning?
Yeah.
Later on, he's just singing mommy over and over. So he's just singing mommy shark over and over. And I think that was a little bit of a nod to saying, like, well, he has mommy issues.
Okay. I can see it. You did say before we started, there was, like, something that turned for you in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
It was definitely when Zephyr is next to the other woman chained up. And I was like, oh, God, what are we doing? Are we talking about sex trafficking? Because, heavy. Because it took me right to, actually, when you were talking about the summary in the beginning of the movie, it took me to, like, Taken.
Oh,
like, that kind of thing. So I had, like, that in my head, too. It's like, Taken.
Well, and also, it made me think of, what's that fucking movie with the blind guy?
Oh.
What's that called?
Be Quiet. No. Shut the fuck up.
I don't think it's called Be Quiet. It's called Shh. You know, I was searching for the
guy. I know what you're talking about, though.
Fuck me. What is that guy?
Don't breathe. Don't
breathe. Oh, my God.
I don't know how much of that we're going to keep. Yeah, it's like the guy in Don't Breathe. What was I talking about?
I think you were comparing. Oh. Yeah.
Don't Breathe has
yeah.
people trapped in this location, but that also goes in a bad direction. Yeah. So it's nice that this one doesn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my biggest things that I love the most about the movie is just how strong Zephyr's character is.
Yeah.
Like, they have perseverance 100% all the way through, which is really cool to see.
She was cool because, with a movie like this where it just gets going, like, very quickly, they do manage to incorporate, like, these small character things for her where we are able to pick up that she's like a foster child from the United States, and now she just has this like free spirit attitude, surfing in Australia, living out of a van, doesn't want to be held down. But it just makes it clear that like, oh, she's been through some shit, and so maybe she wasn't the best target for this guy.
Yeah,
because he seems to just choose people based on, I guess it makes sense to pick foreign girls because
he said, I think specifically he goes after tourists.
Okay.
Because there was a moment where she said, like, he's not a tourist. Like, what are you thinking? Like, they'll be looking for him. He lives here.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. But that does seem like, I guess that's his MO because it's more likely he can get away with it.
Yeah. He looks for people who he thinks no one's looking for.
Yeah. And I guess she would, like, check all those boxes, but not the kind of person you want to fuck with. So
I will say, when the romance got injected into the story, I felt like, I was a little disappointed at first, but it did come back around for me at the end.
It did, because that was another thing where it felt a little forced in the beginning, but it's also like, you got to get this shit going. So they were just trying to get through it, I guess, as fast as they could. Got a hand to the guy. He didn't do shit, but at least he showed up, right? Like, at least he was looking for.
At least he recognized something was wrong. And he did eventually figure out how to get to her, which is impressive.
He didn't do a fucking thing, but look, did he actually do anything to contribute? I guess it like maybe stretched things out more for her because she was going to be up next.
Yeah.
I guess we could say that. Like, he was like a sacrifice. He saved her time. Yes.
Yeah. But he ended up being okay, right?
Yeah, but he just didn't do anything.
Well,
she had to save him at the end.
No, yeah. It does seem like she probably could have did it without him, but it's okay.
He offered himself up as a sacrifice and bought her time. So
he bought her like 12 hours, so maybe a day. I don't know.
I did think it was cool. Like, I think one other detail I picked up on, you know, there was that guy at the dock who had like big personality, like engaging the tourists and stuff.
And the little dog.
Yeah, so it's like in the beginning, that felt like this very charming Australian experience. Oh, let's go talk to these Australian guys and get on his boat and see some sharks. But then when we come back to that character later, he just seems like an absolute fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
It's like it feels like a very different shift like the reality versus what the tourists see, you know? So I wasn't exactly super sympathetic about his character, even though he wasn't involved, really.
Yeah, just as long as the dog was okay. That's all that matters.
It was almost like a does the dog die moment, but it didn't go there. Yeah, it was fun enough, right?
Yeah.
I think like...
No, I thought we had a good time in the theater, and it was
nice. I had a good time.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm always here for the mystery movies. This is the thing that's so great about it is being able to have like a completely fresh opinion because no one is talking about it yet.
Yeah.
It does make me wonder how other people are going to see this movie. You know what I mean?
I don't really see anybody talking about it, so I don't know.
Look at that. Completely fresh takes and opinions. Hot off the grill. He does get eaten in the end.
Which is very really satisfying, but also somehow not as satisfying as I was hoping. But still satisfying.
It was a little silly because he kind of like waves at the camera as he's being eaten. It's just, it's silly. That's the thing. Like, it really goes in that direction.
I think it was really nice to see story-wise how when these two women find themselves in this situation, they're immediately like empathetic and yeah. like they're immediately going to help each other out. I think I really liked that small detail too.
He does kind of use it against her to torture her, unfortunately. Yeah. But look, we're watching a horror movie.
Yeah.
You know it's not going to turn out great for everybody.
And the thing is like, I don't need that in every movie, but it's nice to see every once in a while.
You want to have likable characters. Yeah. That's what it comes down to. And they're all pretty likable. Yeah. Even the guy comes around and Tucker is Tucker. He's really good in that role. I think that was like an excellent performance. Oh,
no. I think he did great. Yeah, no, he did great. He sold that character. I do think there's the idea that I can't remember her name, the first girl. That all could have been avoided had her partner, whatever.
She seemed very specific that it was not her boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know exactly. But she was also, I don't know. Her situationship, like, convinced her to like do this, and even when she was on the boat she's like, I don't want to do this, I don't want to be here. So there's a little bit of that too, where it's like, well, she said no, so she didn't want to do it, so
it's how it goes, unfortunately.
She'd be alive still.
Yeah. It was cool, we got those creepy ass shots of the sharks in the very beginning when they're in the cage. Even though they do look kind of derpy,
you know? They do look a little like they looked silly,
especially the big shark that came at the end, the part where she is suddenly like sympathetic to the shark as it swims by. It just makes the derpiest ass face, like it doesn't look scary anymore.
I think also I like those scenes because we're like fish freaks, so I
here
like
we go.
I think they're so cool looking, so that I don't know if that was supposed to scare me, but I liked it. I like seeing it.
I wonder how powerful the shark lobby is. Because I know there's been this turn where people think that sharks get a bad name. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been like a lot of opposition to Shark Week now. So maybe they had to insert the scene to be like, they're not that bad. Mm-hmm. Look, Jaws is getting old enough. The youth are forgetting about sharks. We got to remind them. It's important to know about shark safety.
Yeah.
But you can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod. And you can follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd, where we rank everything we cover. I think I found a pretty good spot on this cursed list. Above Cemetery Man and below Jennifer's Body.
Yeah.
That puts it at number 77 on our list. It's a big boy. And you can contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. Did you see this early too? What did you think? I really haven't seen what anyone else has said about
me either.
I'm interested. Bye.